love the chase and the hunt, and I set the pace when I'm running. I always take what I want, and I always give it 100. Don't need a bank, no, I'm funded. Play the game like it's nothing. I'm always thankful for something. Don't take for granted, stay humble. Now wake up! It's time to look at the enemy. Look in the mirror if he is no friend to me. It's not working out, maybe it's the chemistry. It's time to break up so I can make a better me. Better believe in your mind, cause it's everything. You can mold, shape, find almost anything. All it takes is some time and some clarity to find your identity. It's mind over everything.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome, welcome, welcome to the greatest podcast of all time, The Bobby Kudo Show. When I feel like this, I'm immortal. 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 Welcome, welcome, welcome to this very special episode of The Bobby Kudo Show. I guess you could call this the resurrection or the return of the show in some way, shape, or form. You know, I was kind of hesitating and really reluctant getting behind the microphone again. And it's just, you know, it's been a minute. March was the last episode that I recorded. And a lot has happened since then. And now, you know, my life has completely changed, you know, adjusting to circumstances that, you know, listen, I've never had a better relationship with the universe. And I find that the more you accept it and decide that you're going to harmonize with it, the easier and more rewarding life can be. And I'll tell you this from my own experience. It's weird. It's kind of strange. You know, I wasn't sure how I was even going to begin the show, but in fashion of what I'd like to think the show has always been, I thought it could be and would be organic as it should be. And I realized that although I haven't been recording actively, the show, the momentum of the show, the listens, the downloads, you know, I'm very active in Twitter. So if you're X, now X, if you're on social media and you want to get close to the show, to me, to probably where I'm the most vocal, you know, I tend to, you know, Facebook, I understand that Facebook is a necessary evil. Like you just can't, it's part of that social media core, you know. And I just want to realize that, you know, I'm beginning to shift away from your conventional, you know, media. And I'm thinking even in the direction that I'm going to take the show, I think Rumble will probably be a big part of the streaming platform of the show, the live events, things of that nature. And, you know, maybe using a parallel economy, you know, using a different, you know, there are other options. You know, there are other options, you know. And I, you know, not to bring it up, and you know, even this week, I know unless you literally live under a rock, you heard the clips. I mean, there's just thousands of them, of Elon Musk pretty much, you know, telling the woke community that he would not be, you know, blackmailed and to pretty much go fuck themselves. And that's what he said. And you know, that really is that's how I feel. You know, and I, you know, I never, you know, don't misunderstand what I'm about to say. I believe that Elon Musk is, from what I can perceive, a genius, right? Like the guy's pretty much got the most money in the world. Like whatever he's doing, whatever he did it right. And obviously he cracked the code, right? But I'm always still cautious. You know, I'm always still very cautious. You know, for example, if you buy any Tesla product, like there's cameras everywhere. Like there's cameras on the outside, but more importantly, this camera's on the inside, you know. And I just, the idea of driving anything with a camera constantly pointing at me, I don't know how I feel about that. You know, I think the time I spend, you know, I do a lot of driving in my profession, and I got to be honest with you, the idea of a camera constantly recording everything I'm doing, you know, and I know this is probably, you know, in vain because of the sheer fact that, you know, our phones are pretty much, you know, we would pretty much guess and assume that those are recording all the time. But, you know, the idea of just knowing that there could, at any moment, there could be somebody watching me as I'm driving. I don't like that. It makes me very uneasy. And I just think it's a violation of somewhat of my private space. You know, driving is for me, a very sacred time where, you know, you can actually be alone, you know, maybe put on some tunes, relax, kind of phase out from whatever, you know, whatever that journey is. But, and so that, to me, to the point anyway, is that just, I just feel like there's just more to him than meets the eye. You know, I just, it just seems like it just, it's too much. You know, again, and maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm wrong, but just like my spider senses are tingling and I'm just not sure. But that's pretty much the deal on Elon. But, you know, it, overall, the point here is social media to me, I realize is, and I'm sure you all have realized, I'm not telling anybody you don't, you're probably all feeling the same way I do, that it's just, it's become pretty evident and obvious that it's just, it's the cause of a lot of bad things, you know. And I appreciate X in the sense of the content, you know. I'm able to, at least it gives me the perception that I'm able to like kind of search and navigate, and the things I want to learn more about, I can research that. I don't have to take it verbatim, and you go into the comments and you read the comments and you can come up with your own conclusions to a lot of these things, you know. And, you know, not to get into it, not to be to put a too fine a point on it, because I really don't have an opinion, because I'm not Palestinian or I'm not Jewish. I'm not from Israel. So this whole conflict with this is, I just think there's a whole lot of propaganda. If there's one thing that's obvious, if you scroll through and you look at like all of the, and I think even this week, I think they had a, you know, and again, it's, you know, Hamas, they have the basic technologies. They got a lot of money over there. And like they had a baby and it looked, what it looked like a doll. The guy's got a doll. There's a wire coming out of it. And, you know, for the newscast, they blur the baby's face so you can't see it. You can't tell that it's a doll. It's not even a real baby. It's just, you know, both sides are trying to make a point, and you don't realize that at the end of the day, they're just extorting money. It's all extortion. It's all, you know, it's all this money that, quite frankly, we can't afford to share right now. You know, it's, you know, if there's one thing that I've always instilled in my kids, is that, like, you know, you gotta take care of your own first. You know what I mean? You gotta take care of your own people, your family, your tribe, before you go and, you know, lend a hand to others. You know, it's no different than Thanksgiving. You know, going grabbing your turkey out of the oven and going donating it to a homeless person. I mean, granted, it's a great sentiment, but, you know, now your family's hungry, like nobody's eating, right? Somebody's got to find food, you know? And that's really the idea of what our country is doing. And it's just so obvious and blatant. And, you know, just, I think if we continue to turn a blind eye to all this, it's just going to get worse. You know, and I don't want to get into too much detail about this, because it's just like, to me, it's not what the show's about. You know, the show really isn't about politics, but I just think it's important to just raise everybody's eyebrow and realize that somebody's got to do something. Like, this is just getting to the point where it's completely out of control. And you don't really, I mean, obviously, like, the only things that we're seeing, we don't even know if they're real anymore, between AI and the way that the information is just pumped out. But, you know, I think that's the idea. You know, I think that's the plan. The plan is to make it all seem like you don't even know what's real anymore. Like, you're in this environment that everything you see could or not be, like, real or true. Like, I just, you know, I gotta be honest with you guys. It's just, it's a little daunting. But you know, quite frankly, I try to remove myself from that, the constant stream, you know, the Fox News, the Newsmax, because, you know, it's very obvious and evident to me that they have a purpose, you know what I mean? And that purpose is to, you know, to create fear, to create purpose. Like, they're, the reason they say what they say and they do what they do in opposition of the other is just specifically for that, you know, to hone in on people's emotions. And they really don't do any good for anyone. They, you know, and I know, like, even now with TikTok, you know, it's, I'm kind of half and half with TikTok, because, you know, it's obviously, like, just, it's clear that it's China, but with that said, it's probably one of the only ways that you can get, aside from X, Twitter, is to get that information. You know, like, there's a lot of things that you see on Twitter that the news doesn't even cover. You know, they'll spend, you know, the Fox, they'll spend, you know, 20 minutes talking about things that no one's going to do anything about. Like, you know, say what you want, like the Hunter Biden laptop, you know, thing. That's okay. We know it's real, but we're still arguing that point. You understand? The president's been, there's just these accusations that, quite frankly, are just outside of apprehension. You know, we hear them so much that I think we become immune. Like, the president was accused of just doing really bad things, like, you know, pedophilia. And, like, imagine that this is the leader of the free world, you know, and I'm sorry for saying so, but, you know, I know accusations are only just that, accusations, but, I mean, the leader of the free world, like, the idea that there is one, no way to vet these people because the system has become so corrupt. You know, we get this idea that, you know, listen, I'm all American and I bleed red, white, and blue, but we have this idea that we can go and vote, right? We can go and vote, and somehow that vote means something in some way, shape, or form, you know, even regardless of the electoral system, that we have some sort of voice that it matters. And at the end of the day, it doesn't fucking matter. It doesn't matter. You know, there'll be those that'll argue with me and say, well, if you don't, yeah, listen, I'll show up. I'll vote. I'll be there. But honestly, like, really think about that. It's the system has become so corrupted. Imagine this idea. The system has become so corrupted that there is absolutely nothing we can do. There's nothing we can do. Like, the games, now what they do is they just continue, it's perpetual. Like the Speaker of the House, like they oust him. Like this, they just, it's this constant, like we can't even, you know, we're sending billions of dollars to other countries. We're being invaded, literally being invaded. There's nowhere for these people to go. We're paying migrants $1,500 a month per child. Did you know this? This is absolute truth. Absolute 1,000%. When you're done listening to the show, go and research it. They're paying migrants $1,500 a child per child to be here. And we have many people. You cannot stop at a stoplight anymore without someone begging you for money. You know, it's the absolute fall of an empire. You know, Rome fell with some dignity, right? Rome had history. Rome, right? What are we doing? You know, literally having the whole world, right? The whole world, like the we are the Mecca. We are the central, right? Hub. You somehow create that. You create this, and then you allow the feelings, because none of it's logic. The feelings of others control, the wokeness control. And, you know, with Rome, you know, they say that once Rome lost its gender, it fell. Once Rome devalued its currency, you know, the gold coins, they had less and less gold in them, and, you know, which is inflation. At some point when the economic system can no longer sustain itself, it's over. It's very simple math. It really, I mean, just look around, you know, and I'll challenge anyone at this point to argue that this country is in any direction whatsoever to be supporting and helping other countries when we can't even, like California is a shithole, ladies and gentlemen. California is a literal shithole. Detroit, Michigan, go check it out. I mean, we have children going to school. There's mold growing out of the floor. They don't have, like, gymnasiums to do the things that kids should be doing at their age. So, you know, I argue, and it's no, you know, I know this is, to me, this is like a microcosm. Like, I'm not, but I just hope that if you're listening to this, that you're absolutely understanding the situation and how critical this is. Like, you know, if you have a little money in the bank, if you're fortunate enough to have a little bit of savings, and just how do you refund your money? Like, if the bank has your money, right? How do you go get it back? How do you withdraw it? Right? And if you withdrew it in say, you know, dollars, what's the value of that? Like, would you withdraw all your money right now? Say you just had just $100,000. If you withdrew that $100,000 and you have it in paper money in front of you, like, tomorrow, is that still worth $100,000? The answer is no. So quite frankly, you have to understand, like, what do we do? Because if the bank decides that, you know, hey, listen, we can't, then what is it? What's it matter? Like, understand that. Like, I just don't, that's the part that frustrates me, is that people don't understand that. Like, that's how simple this is. That if they pull the plug, they pull the plug. There's nothing you can do. It doesn't matter what you have. What you have is what you have in your possession right now. What you have in your home. What you have in your home right now. The means to protect yourself. The means to survive and sustain for some time. That's the most important thing that matters right now. When you're in those critical situations, you're not thinking about how much money you have in the bank. What you're trying to do is keep your family alive and sustain. And that's critical. That's where we're at right now. It doesn't matter. Everything's electronic. Every transaction is somehow digital. And the government is going to do that. They're going to bankrupt us. They're going to take money. Look, the only way to take our money without us, like, giving it to them, I mean, aside from the IRS and taxation, is for them to devalue the money so much that it's not even worth it. In Venezuela, like, this guy was with a wheelbarrow, right? A wheelbarrow full of money. True story. This is legit. A wheelbarrow full of money. The people in town, like, they got around him. Like, they beat him up. They beat him up. You know what they did? They dumped out the money. They took the wheelbarrow. Right? Because that's the devaluation of a currency. And what do you do when that happens? You know, and this is, like, I don't want to sound doom and gloom at this point, but the truth in the matter is that it's critical. And if you're not doing anything about it, if you're not being conscious about this, like, just look around. It's a literal invasion. We are living in a literal invasion. We have no idea. September 11th happened, and you could not get through an airport checkpoint without literally getting naked, without somebody sticking a finger up your ass. Legit. That's truth. That's real talk right there. And now we have borders. Like, we don't even have a clue. We don't even have a clue who's in this country right now. Like, at any point, Islam could be like, hey, and I bet you there's probably more of them than there is of us. China, hey, right? Because it's they're all millions, ladies and gentlemen, millions. You know, if you watch football, right? Like, the stadiums. Imagine, like, those stadiums between 30,000 and 60,000 people. Like, that's like the range of what a stadium, how many people a stadium hold. 30 to 60,000, right? Now imagine hundreds of thousands crossing the border, like, just consistently. What is it? What else is it? And this isn't about xenophobia. This isn't about anything. This isn't about anybody else. This is about us. If you're in your home, like, you don't have the infrastructure. We don't have the infrastructure to support the amount of people that are coming into this country. And what happens? Like, okay, so 2024, Trump runs, he wins, right? Trump wins. Like, it's, at this point, it's pretty clear, right? Trump wins. Well, but then what? Is it mass deportation? Is that the only way? Is that going to be the only way? You're gonna have to transport all these people back to wherever they came from. And even still, you're still not going to get the people that are hiding. If there are people out there that are hiding and they're being funded to hide from the CCP, for example, from Iran, from any of these nations that want to abolish us, Russia. Like, what do you think that it's the easiest thing in the world? Like, they're already here. They're already intermingled. Like, there's no way to distinguish them, and we're not racist and we're not xenophobic, so we invite them. We bring them close to us because this is the nation, right? So it's all about this plan, and it's going to happen. Like, I am not a conspiracy theorist, but I will tell you, buy water. Buy lots and lots of water. You know, I talk to people I talk to people, and someone quite intelligent told me, Bobby, do yourself a favor. Just buy plenty of water and store it. Because if they attack the water supplies, that's it. That's it. It's like, you know, it's like bringing down a plane. No different. You only have to do one or maybe two. Now nobody's drinking water. What do you think is going to happen? Right? Like, seriously, think about that. So do yourself a favor. Like, get yourself a lot of water. I tell everyone I love, get water. Supply yourself with water. Be careful. You know, this is quite, this is not exactly where I wanted the show to be today, but I think it's exactly where it needed to go. And these are things that I'm concerned about, and I think that you should be concerned about, especially if you have loved ones, people that you have to worry about in the situation of a catastrophic situation. And, you know, what's your plan? Literally, what's your plan? What are you going to do? Even if, like, just let's just say, even if it's internal, what if we have a revolution? What's your plan? What are you going to do? How do you protect yourself? You know, any of my friends, you know, we've probably had this conversation a thousand times. I tell everyone, go get your license to carry. Have the ability. Look, it doesn't matter how you feel about guns. At least if you learn, you know, you get the safety course, they teach you, you learn, and you're just like anything else. You're smart about it. Put it away. You know, people carry umbrellas in their car. Why? Not because it rains every day, but when it does, you reach back there, you grab the umbrella, right? Same thing. You know, not everybody gets attacked. Not everybody's in situations where they have to protect themselves, but when it does happen, you may have to be the one. And so it's your obligation to take care of yourself. It's your obligation to be the best version of yourself. That's your obligation. It's your obligation to mankind, to society. We owe it to each other. And, you know, we have to look out for each other. Like, this idea that we're going to continue to battle with one another and fight about the color of our skin at this point, like, it's just been way too long. It's over. That fight is over. Because our enemies are laughing at us. Our enemies, you know, listen, our enemies in Russia, they don't refer to us as white Americans, black Americans, Chinese Americans. They don't say that. They say those Americans. They include all of us. We're all in the same pool. They don't give a shit. Because when they come into our borders and they start mowing people down the same way they did in the Gaza, like, when that happens, like, they don't give a shit what color you are. They're going to take you out. At that point, when you're all getting shot at the same time, we're all Americans. Like, when they report it on the news, they're going to say American shot. They're not going to say white American shot, black American shot. They're not going to say that. They're going to say Americans. We are Americans. You are an American. If you are here and you are part of what we want this country to and need it to be, then you're an American. It is your obligation to take care of your community. It is your obligation to be the best version of yourself. Like, that's important. And until we get back to those fundamental values of understanding that we have roles, we all have roles. Everybody has to play their role. You can't have a successful company without the roles that people play in a company. And a family is exactly the same thing. A family unit is like a corporation. That is your corporation. You are building that. That is your brand. And everybody plays an important role in that. When you lose sight of that, when you lose the family unit, the nuclear unit, when you lose that, what are you breeding? What are you creating? You know, I am a product of a single mother. And for a long time, like, this chip on my shoulder, like somehow the world owed me something. Like, oh, gee, I wish my dad would throw a baseball with me the way he did with, like, really? Like, none of that shit matters. We are all individuals with individual experiences, whatever that is. Just dust it off, like, just and move forward. You know, you have to be mindful and realize that each individual, like, just interaction that you have is so vital and so important. When you walk by someone, you don't engage them, when you don't make eye contact, when you don't say hello. If that person, if you were the last person on earth, right? And you're looking around for people, and all of a sudden you see that person, you're like, oh my God, hey, what's, so why would it be any different? Like, say hello, like interact, like we're all in this together. We're all struggling. But to have the individuality to separate ourselves from the way we were created with tribes and to continuously just argue and bicker and like debate things that just are the obvious. That's the plan. The plan is to make you question everything. What's real? What's not real? A man is a woman. A woman is a man. Like, that's somehow I'm a racist because I believe in certain things that make me feel the way and create who I am. If you make me feel about being, you make me feel bad about being the person that I am, that took me all this time to create. And the people out there that are weak, that bow down to this idealism, like to just give themselves up. They like their souls are just empty. They have nothing. There's nothing inside of you. Why? Because it's like you're dead inside. But when you choose to live your life to be who you are, to appreciate the value of the sheer anomaly that you even exist. The fact that you're even on this planet, all of it, like out of the hundreds of thousands, millions of sperm and eggs that could come together at for whatever moment, when you were procreated, your mom and dad meeting, think about that for a split second. The fact that you're even listening to this podcast right now, what the miracles, the mathematical miracles that took place to for you to exist. But yet we'll argue about the things that don't even matter. What matters are cures for diseases that are killing children. That matters. What matters is educating our babies with the best and brightest people that we can find. You know why we can't find? You know why those people aren't working in the education system? Do you know why the best and brightest aren't working in the education system? Because they're working for the government. And the government has a higher payroll than the school system, than the education system. So we pay these, you know, these people that should be working at McDonald's, right, and Burger King. We trust them to raise our children and to, you know, instill these morals of goodness and kindness into our children, to create better versions, to evolve our existence on this planet as a species. But we don't do that. We reward insurance companies. We I don't even blame the doctors, because, you know, the doctors have to charge what they charge to pay off the college loans that they were, right? So it's like this perpetual, and meanwhile, what then? Our children, we raise what? We educate them behind laptops with masks on, and then we expect them to have their own opinions and ideas when all they do is spend, you know, 18 hours a day on in their phones, on Instagram and on TikTok. Realize this, because it happens quick, guys. It happens, ladies. It happens really quick. You know, before you know it, like they're adults. What are you instilling in them? What do they see? Are you strong? Are you motivated? Are you the best version of yourself? Because they are watching. The neighbor's kids are watching. Everybody's watching. Because you know what, dude? If you're rowdy and loud and obnoxious, everybody knows. But if you're that guy who's, you know, shoveling your neighbor's driveway, if you're that guy that's picking up the trash because you care about your neighborhood, you're that guy that tells, hey, kid, be safe, be careful, this is dangerous, like that guy or that gal, and not just saying, hey, it's somebody else's problem. This is our communities. Like, it's not anybody else's responsibility. And until we get to that point when it's perpetual. And this isn't, like, I'm not lecturing anybody, but this is my experience. Everybody's always waiting for somebody else to come save them. Nobody's coming. If there's one thing I've learned over the past year, ladies and gentlemen, is nobody is coming. You're on your own. This is your life. Your experience is what you choose to make it. And your interactions with other people, that's the goal. Those moments we can share, the memories we can make. But at the end of the day, it's you. It's us. You know, Christmas is around the corner. And, you know, we just had Thanksgiving. It's, you know, at this point, it's, you know, for me, it's, you know, it's a mix of emotions. You know, it's coming from, you know, having these humongous, you know, there's one thing's for sure. You know, we used to have amazing, like, just Thanksgivings. Our holidays, when I was in the married unit, they were always fantastic. Like, we always had more gifts under the tree than we could afford. You know what I mean? It was always, you know, a Santa cookie kind of Christmas. And the memories that we made, like, just priceless. Like, I'll take those with me until my last breath. And I just, again, I don't want to sound like that guy, but, you know, realize that what if this is your last Christmas, right? What if this is the last one you get to experience with the family, the way you know it, like, I had no idea. This is going to be a last, like, I had no idea. I didn't know that was going to be my last Christmas with my family. Would I have done things differently? Would I have maybe cherished it a little bit more? Yeah, of course, absolutely. Like, right? It's like somebody telling you you're going to die. Right? Like, every day to that point now is a gift, right? But shouldn't you have that mindset anyway? You know, and even though, like, my Christmases now are different, my Thanksgivings are different, my Halloweens, like, all my holidays are different, nonetheless, it's adapting to that. It's realizing that just, you know, things change. They change. You know, I'm very fortunate to have family and to, you know, just my kids are, you know, out of this world. Fantastic. And, I'm grateful for that. You know, there are special people in my life that I appreciate often. Not to say that, you know, I even interact with these people every day, but knowing that they're in my life and at any moment, you know, I could reach out, it's a great feeling. It's a warm feeling. And so the point of this is just to make you realize that, you know, again, Christmas is right around the corner, and then it's the new year. And then it's, you know, it's the start over. It's the give me another chance. And it's the, you know, I'll tell you right now, like, there's no better time than now. You know, whatever those changes and decisions you're going to make on the 1st of January, like, you can start that now. You know, in 30 days, you could be a different person, literally. I mean, if you committed to the gym now and you committed to a diet now, to a calorie diet now, like, your life could be absolutely different. It really could, if you just commit to that. And that's even, like, whatever that is, for the body, for the mind, you know, reading a book, you know, picking up a book and saying, hey, you know, I'm going to read. You know, whatever that, however that looks for you, whether it's fictional, whether it's, you know, motivating, just picking up a book and just triggering those neurons in your brain that haven't been triggered in a long time, that weren't stimulated by a screen, by an electronic screen. You know, that's the best you can do for yourself. Really, it's and you know, it's I'm myself, like, masochist. You know, it's we always we die on the sword. You know, my family. You know, I'll work. But at the end of the day, you know, it's your obligation. I'll say it again. It's your absolute obligation to be the best version of yourself for your family. You know, those with you, especially those with kids, with young kids, impressionable kids, they're watching you. If you smoke cigarettes, your kids smoke cigarettes. I'll tell you that right now. Like, there's no question about it. You know, I'm very fortunate. Neither one of my adult children smoke cigarettes, nor have they ever. And I smoked for a long time. We both did. And we just kept it. We didn't smoke in front of them. Like, we would go out to the garage, or we would excuse ourselves because we didn't want them to even have that impression. And then it really motivated us to quit altogether. And of course, your eating habits, right? Like, if you eat McDonald's every day, like, you're teaching your kids to eat McDonald's every day. That's what they grow a palate for. But if you choose to feed them, like, oh, my kids don't like vegetables. Well, if you start them fresh, you know, there are some of you out there that will be listening to this and will argue with me. But I believe wholeheartedly, like, if you keep that going from infant to, you know, adulthood with, like, just eating certain things, I think the brain, like, just becomes, it learns, and it will, in fact, adapt to those buds. You know, I only say that because I know, even with my own kids, there are particular things that they will not eat, but they ate, you know, and there was just certain things that were not compromised in the sense of, like, just eating healthy and having a home cooked meal, especially on Sundays. We were really strict about that. Like, it was very important to sit down. And we still do that. I still do that. I see my mom every Sunday. I go visit her. I spend as much time as I can, because it's, I always realize it's going to become a day where I'm really going to look forward to that, and I'm not going to have it, you know. And I think realizing that at this point, whatever, however late in that your life, the people that are you know, the people that are really near and dear to you, like, you just gotta, you gotta make the time. There's no excuses. Like, you go, oh, I work and I don't have time, and I get, you know what? Like, just when things go wrong, when things go bad, like, you don't, you're not really thinking of the times that you made it. You're always thinking of the times you didn't. So just do that. Like, embrace yourself. Like, just spread that energy, you know, make it a point. And I promise you, like, it's going to make you just, it's going to enrich your life. It really is. You know, between that and a good diet, you know, drink a lot of water, that, cutting out sugar altogether and drinking, say, a gallon of water a day will change your life. Just that alone, just all that by itself. Like, if you can do that, I guarantee you, you're going to notice a difference in like 14 days, 21 days. You're going to notice a difference immediately. The water just flushes you out. I remember, like, when I was doing the 75 hard challenge, and I was drinking a gallon of water a day, I never felt better. My skin actually felt great. You know, and I struggle with like eczema and dry skin, and I had none of it. When I was drinking a gallon of water a day, I felt like my skin was moisturized, like I was, you know, permeating moisture, and it felt good. And there's so many things I want to talk about, you know, and I could just, I was in Punta Cana, you know, had an amazing time. There's been just a lot of events that have, a lot of things that have transpired in my life, in the course of this year, including like people just, and you know, no regrets. Like I have no regrets. I'm learning. This is all new to me. You know, this is just, you know, being a living alone and, just being responsible for yourself. And it's, one of those things that, you know what, you're almost trapped by your own freedom, if that makes any sense. But it's realizing that you can escape it. It's the mind. It's all the mind. And I'm getting better at it all the time. You know, I go to therapy. I discuss, you know, certain things like this, because, you know, I'll tell you this, guys. You know, especially the gentlemen out there, seeing a therapist is not a sign of weakness. It's a sign of strength. You know, I've come to many conclusions and realizations, because I have the opportunity to share my thoughts and ideas with someone that is unbiased to knowing me in any way, shape, or form. You know, your friends, very rarely do you have friends that are going to be upfront and honest with you without, you know, some type of filter. It's another thing to actually have a conversation with someone who has nothing to gain but, you know, sharing the truth with you, even if you're blinded by your own, you know, your own thoughts and ideas. You know, you think you're doing good, but when someone says, hey, this is a perception, and you're like, wow, I didn't look at it that way. So do that. Like, mental health is so important, especially in men. You know what I mean? When you guys are, you know, you get a lot, you know, it's tough to be the head of a household and responsible for a family. You know, there's nothing against the ladies, you know, it's just as important. You have a role. We all have a role. But you know, men, we live in this silent mindset of just silence, and we don't share, and we really should, because I think that's just a sign of strength, and the only way that you can truly have like just a healthy and balanced life is to be able to share. And I'm hoping that the show will help with that, you know, and even realizing that at some point, I'd like to. I mean, I know I've mentioned this in the past, is we're just going to walk us out of here, but in the past I've mentioned, like, you know, maybe a men's group, you know, where we can have a conversation. You know, having just recently gone through a divorce and that whole process and going through that and navigating emotions, and, you know, it's not easy. You know, it's not easy. You know, in my case, you know, my ex and I were, you know, we communicated at some point. I mean, obviously there was a breakdown in communication there for a while, and you just, the unknown is just, it sucks. It's just, you know, when you don't realize where you're at with people, and you have a lot in stake, you know, your life, your whole life has changed, and, you know, you got lawyers involved, and like, these are some pretty heavy things that, you know, I think we're never prepared for. Nobody ever told us, hey, one day this is going to happen to you and you're going to have to do this. And, you know, realize that, you know, in most cases, again, I was very fortunate in my situation, but a lot of you out there, you're not fortunate. And whatever direction, him, her, whatever, you know, people sometimes, you know, when you go to war, like you're going to war with the person that knows you the best, you know, and this is exactly that case. And so, you know, it'd be really good to I think to share. And I think there are a lot of men out there that could benefit from this, you know, women as well. But I think it's just from a man's point of view, it's a little different when your tribe structure changes dynamically like that. But, you know, we'll talk more about that later on. But listen, if you haven't had a chance, as I walk us out of here, just, you know, check out the website, thebobbykudoshow.com. And if you guys want to hit me up, you know, some ideas for the show, I'm actually going to be reaching out. I've got some guests lined up that I'm going to have on the show. And I think we're just really getting to a point now to get some momentum back in the show and share with you some of this journey that I've experienced, you know, some of the wonderful personalities that I've had the opportunity to share energy with. And if you're listening, I appreciate you, and I'm grateful for our experience. But, you know, with that said, it's just, you know, the journey, guys, and I'm living it, and I'm gonna try to share as much as I can. You know, the show, I don't think the show will be this continuous, like, monolithic kind of, you know, show that it's been in the past. I think the show is going to become quite dynamic. I think we're going to share more personalities on the show all at once. You know, really, what I was trying to navigate was some space, you know, some place to record the show. And thankfully, I think I might have something worked out. So, you know, more to come on that. But just, you know, pay attention on the TikTok, of course, Facebook. Go check it out, The Bobby Kudo Show. Instagram. And of course, the Patreon. You know, please, if you go to the website, then the link is right there for the Patreon. You can support the show, help support the show, and move us in this direction. Because I think, you know, quite frankly, in me personally, I've never been in a better position in my life to speak about where I'm at and ready to share and hopefully be helpful to other people that are experiencing some of the things that I'm experiencing, regardless of where you are in your life. I think, you know, conversation is important. I think sharing ideas is important, and realizing that, you know, we all share something. We're all in this together. And so please go check it out. If you don't mind, Apple, please, 5-star review, leave a review for the show. I'd really greatly appreciate it. And, you know, again, stand by. There's a lot going on. And listen, if you go to the website, there's a link to the Etsy site. Christmas is around the corner. You know, who doesn't want some Bobby Kudo Show gear? So, go check that out, hit the link, and go over to Etsy and pick up. The beanies are awesome. I love them. I think Megan bought a couple of them, and they fit just right, the quality. So go check them out. And, you know, with that said, everyone, I really appreciate your time. Thanks for returning, and be on the lookout, because it's going to get busy. And there's a lot. I got a lot to offer. There's a lot coming your way, including some individuals out there that I have to reach out to, some personalities, people that are just really just the cutting edge of what's happening around us, including AI. And, you know, shame on me. I just haven't had the time. I've just been really busy with other things, and really need to realize that I need to focus on what's important to me and my future. And that's the show. And that's what we're doing here. So I appreciate you all. Thank you so much. Go check out the website. Go to the Facebook. Apple, please, 5 stars. Thank you so much. And always remember that all roads lead here. 'Cause I don't give a fuck what you say. Yeah, I'ma do shit my way. So you can go kick rocks, I'ma stack bricks up, build what I want to make. Yo, I got a lot of shit to say, so I'ma do this every day. I'll be writing things until I'm fucking buried in my grave. 6 feet deep under, but my body won't decay. 'Cause my messages are timeless, so they'll put them on display. Oh yeah, I rap with a certainty, I have a sense of urgency. A message for eternity, for everyone internally. I had some people burning me, but now they fucking learn to see. I ain't the one to fuck with, now they looking nervously. And I don't really care what you think of me respectfully. You can kick rocks if you think you're fucking better, see. I will outwork you, turn you to an enemy. Hurt you so bad that you're gonna need some therapy. I got the motherfucking recipe. I've been cooking up hits, I'ma leave a legacy. You'll be looking small when you're standing right next to me. I'm 5'10", bitch, but I'm 10 feet next to me. 'Cause I don't give a fuck what you say. Yeah, I'ma do shit my way. So you can go kick rocks, I'ma stack bricks up, build what I want to make. 'Cause I don't give a fuck what you say. Yeah, I'ma do shit my way. So you can go kick rocks, I'ma stack bricks up, build what I want to make. Yeah, I'ma do it my way.
We all start losers. We're all late bloomers. Gotta struggle through the sewer.
What you say? Yeah, I'ma do shit my way. So you can go kick rocks. I'ma stack bricks up, build what I want to make. Cause I don't give a fuck what you say. Yeah, I'ma do shit my way. So you can go kick rocks. I'ma stack bricks up, build what I want.